Sano, Sego, Segoli, Ani, and welcome to Compelling Conversations. I'm your host, David Moses, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. It's also a pleasure to have my guest here on the show with us today, Lisa Vinivri, and she is here to talk about the fourth season, folks, of her podcast program. And it's a pleasure to have Lisa here, but Lisa is also the Aboriginal Legal Services cultural coordinator and podcaster. Now, this program started, if I understand it correctly, when COVID hit or thereabouts. And Lisa can tell us about that. The name of the program is The Road to Your Name in the English language, but I'm going to allow Lisa to tell us the name in the language. Lisa, how do you say the name in the language?
Oh, well, Sego, David. I'm glad to be here today to talk about the Yohate Negasuna, The Road to Your Name podcast.
And is that Mohawk?
Yeah, that's a Mohawk phrase, meaning the road to your name. Mm. And we consulted with Dea Hunde, who's a language speaker in our community here. Mm-hmm. And we came up with this name for our program when we were doing in person. And because the road to your name, we talked a lot about people strengthening their cultural connection. And you're kind of on a road, right? You're always learning about the culture. You're strengthening that connection for your lifetime. Mm. So that's sort of where we came up with the road to your name. Okay. And your identity, your name, right? Your identity, who you are, all the teachings you've learned and everything like that.
Yeah. So Dea Hunde, Frank Miller.
Yeah, Frank Miller.
For those people that don't know him by his traditional name, why did you think it was important in your role with Aboriginal Legal Services to start something like this, though?
Well, it was quite evident when working in the court system, and I started to do that when I started with Aboriginal Legal Services over 10 years ago, started working in the court system and seeing our people going through that foreign system. Mm. And talking with them and getting to know them and learning from them that this was a weak point for them, their cultural connection. And for whatever reason that happened, you know, if through residential school, through not many people in their family being able to have these teachings, through not living in the community on a reserve, a lot of different reasons. And so we decided at Aboriginal Legal Services to start an in-person program for the people that were going through the system and their families to start to learn. So we would do these sessions once a week, and entire families would come sometimes. Mm. Yeah, because when I would talk with people, I'd say, well, do you have anyone in your family who you could go to that has these teachings you could learn? And a lot of them would say no. So we started the in-person program, and it was very successful until we had to stop in March of 2020, when everybody had to stop doing things. And then we decided to pivot to doing a podcast. Right. And I think, you know, this wasn't a novel idea because there were a lot of people doing the same thing at that time. Yeah. I recall back then when trying to find equipment to do a podcast, and you couldn't find any equipment anywhere. Mm. So, yeah, this was I had never really heard a podcast before, but there's millions of them now in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take me back, if you don't mind, to when you say it was in person. What did that look like at that time?
Well, we would, sometimes it would be right here in the community. Sometimes we would be at the Polytech in Brantford, on the Brantford campus. Mm. We would have sessions in the evenings once a week. And we would do, and a session would mean probably 8 weeks. And we would select different topics each evening. Sometimes it was interactive, you know, participating in a craft or something like that. But getting these teachings from the people in our community who were knowledgeable about them and wanted to share these teachings. So we would learn about things like wampum. Where is that in our, where does the story of wampum come to us in our teachings and our stories? And also what, like we would learn about the peacemaker story. We would learn about the creation story, the Thanksgiving address, all of those things. Mm. And we would even have language class, you know, we'd incorporate language as much as possible into the program.
And at that time, what kind of feedback were you getting from the participants that, that took part?
Oh, our feedback was really great. I mean, it started out slow. People had to realize that we were doing this, and I had to market it a bit. But once people knew, we got to the point where we had waiting lists.
Mm.
Yeah. And it sort of just grew and grew from there, and we would get families. One time we had three sisters come to the program, and it was nice to see people related, you know, in the same family attend together.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it got pretty big there for a minute.
Pretty big? What do you mean by, like, how many attendants?
Oh, my gosh, I can't even. Well, you know, we just had a classroom, so yeah. So we filled the classroom up.
Yeah, well, wow, that's great.
Yeah. And I tried to have a variety of topics for people to learn, you know, not just one thing. But, yeah, it was really great.
So, you know, when I think about this and what you were saying about the lack of availability for the teachings for these people that you come across through the Aboriginal Legal Services. But I also see this as a two-way kind of a situation, right? Because you have the knowledge people that are coming to those classes to share. Did the people that participated as those people sharing the stories and sharing the knowledge, what kind of feedback did you get from them?
Oh, our facilitators of our evenings, they love to come and do it. This is what they have gathered this knowledge over their lifetime, and that's what they wanted to do, is share. And we're living in a time now where we need to share these teachings.
Mm.
We need to share them with the people that didn't get to learn them.
Mm.
At a point where they should have, really, or they could have.
Right.
And so, you know, and also it was great seeing them and hearing them use the language.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we need to use our language more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So as we mentioned off the top of the show, this is going into its fourth season. So congratulations to you on that, first of all.
Oh, Yahweh.
But take me back. How has the show progressed? How has it changed, would you say, over the last three seasons going into this fourth season?
Well, from the first episode, I don't know if you can hear it, but I didn't know what I was doing. So I've learned a few things. And, you know, the more you do something, the more you learn about it, right? And I've always been able to interview people because I come from a journalism background.
Mm.
So that's always been very interesting to me. And I think that we still try to, you know, have a variety of topics in each season. And I've tried to do at least one that has to do with justice.
Mm.
Have a lot of different teachings. We've expanded to other Haudenosaunee communities.
Oh.
You know, and so we have guests from other Haudenosaunee communities.
Nice.
And now, you know, I'm much more comfortable doing the podcast. So, yeah, I mean, it's still very interesting to do. Yeah, I'm really liking it.
Yeah, it's nice to have a conversation with someone, much like we're doing right now, and share these kind of things for other people to learn from, to experience, and to hopefully gain something from.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, as you were talking there, I remember you actually and I had a conversation about this when we were both at the Woodland Cultural Center.
Yes.
You had an office there. I had my office there.
Yes.
And I remember you bringing this up when you were talking about wanting to start it. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I always have these crazy ideas that I blurt out to anybody that will listen.
Well, I guess not so crazy because, like we said, you're now into your fourth season. Now, the previous seasons, I'm guessing they're live online somewhere that people can go and listen to?
Our podcast, the Road to Your Name podcast, you can search for it. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. That's the most popular where people access it. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Audible, and there's a lot of different little ones.
Hmm.
Dweezer, I think.
Yeah, right.
Think that it's on. But I'm really proud to say that we're listened to in over 22 countries, 23 countries.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Now, do you get feedback from any of those people that are listening from around the world?
Well, not so much. Maybe they don't know we have a Facebook page. But we do have a Facebook page. Mm. I think you can see what's on there. I try to announce, you know, the new season, what's coming up and things like that. We hope to utilize it more and we hope to start other social media. But we're starting out small. We're just relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we hope it'll just grow and grow.
Now, the other thing I'm wondering about is many Six Nations and First Nations people live off reserve. And in fact, as we know, across the country and around the world. And I'm wondering, for those people that aren't local from the community, if they find this, a taste of home, sort of, you know, a way for them to access knowledge or to hear maybe familiar voices or to hear, you know, the language, like you said, and to, you know, keep up on things and to refresh themselves with some of these teachings that you're sharing.
Yes, I think so, because last year I received an email from a person who lived in California, and they're from here, and they connected again through the podcast and actually visited the community again, came back home, and I saw them at Bread and Cheese.
Mm.
So they said they were a fan of the podcast.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's very encouraging. It's nice to hear. All right, Lisa, so tell us now about the fourth season, because it started, I think, on September 29th, the first when it launched.
Yes, we launched it. We all the way through since we started, we've been launching on Thursdays.
Hmm.
So Thursdays early in the morning, but today was different. We launched at 11 a.m. just because we were coming in here. So it's always been Thursdays, and this season, our first guest on the 29th was Gary Farmer.
Nice.
Yeah. Gary's such a great storyteller, know. I didn't have to say too much in the podcast. And sometimes, you know, in the episodes, I notice that I don't talk a lot because I let the guest talk. Yeah.
Of course. That's, I think, what it's about. It's about letting... And allowing your guests to share their stories.
Yeah, it's really nice to sit and listen to it. Sometimes I forget, I need to speak. And then our second episode, our guest was Artie Martin. And Artie's like such a creative person in our community.
Mm.
So he talked a lot about creativity, which is very interesting from the Haudenosaunee perspective.
Mm.
And today's guest that we released today is Alunyayas Hearn, who's a Mohawk knowledge keeper from Akwesasne.
Mm.
And during the time where everything was kind of shut down, I discovered his Zooms online, and I started to attend his Zooms teachings. They were so good. Mm. And he still does them, I think. So I asked if he would come on the podcast, and he was on last season. Mm-hmm. And this season we have him on three different times because he's doing like a series with us. Mm. So today he starts out talking about birth. Mm. From the Haudenosaunee perspective. And then we go along in our stages of life in the other episodes.
Nice. Nice. That sounds very exciting.
Yeah. Great. Sure. Coming up, we have Cher Obadiah, who's an author.
Yes.
Yeah.
Know Cher very well.
Yes, you
know.
Of her new book. She has out her new book of poetry, and that's an interesting episode. Mm. And then another interesting episode will be, we have two sisters from Gunasadage, that community. And their names are in the language. And it was really nice for me to exercise my Mohawk speech, right. Trying to say their names. Gahundakwas. Dahno Wanagelago. Those are their names, the two sisters, and they run a software company.
Oh.
And they do animation and incorporate language. Very interesting what they're doing.
Wow.
So, yeah, we have an episode with them, and yeah, just different ones. You know, 10 episodes go by so fast, I find.
Well, they do. They can go by very quickly, especially when you have engaging guests that make it interesting for you and also for your listeners.
For sure. I'm just so glad podcasting was invented.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to ask you, having had to move into the realm of podcasts because of COVID, like so many other people, and pick up that side of things. It also seems to me that that's something that many people hadn't, looked into prior to COVID, but because of COVID, it's become so much of the norm, and it's opened up things so much more. You know, as you know, I've done a lot of interviews with a lot of people, and when I was working at Element FM in Toronto, prior to COVID, you know, I'd be going in, and we'd have our guests come in like we are right now, sitting in the studio talking together. Hopefully traffic wasn't an issue for them to get there if they were, you know, traveling in. And sometimes they were late and sometimes there was issues. And then when COVID hit and we all went remote and I started doing interviews from the home or from a remote location and Zoom, right? It was a Zoom. And I was talking to people all around the world.
Yeah.
Not just in Toronto or just, you know, that could make it into the studio. It was amazing. It was great.
Yeah. I think we did our first interview over Zoom.
I think we might have, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can really connect with technology when it works really well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, and some First Nations communities do have issues with fast internet and things like that. So we have to always think about that as well. You know, when we're trying to connect with people.
Yes, it's very true. And that's a technical thing that is required for doing something like this as well, from a remote location. You do need good internet. You shouldn't, for anybody that's thinking of doing it, you really want a wired system, not a wireless connection.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
You'll have a much better chance of keeping it a strong connection and not dropouts and those kind of things. This is great, Lisa. I'm so proud and happy for you in regard to this fourth season of your show, The Road to Your Name. Now, tell us about the Facebook page. You said you have a Facebook page.
Yes, we do have a Facebook page. It's called The Road to Your Name.
Oh.
We thought we'd stick with the same theme for the social media. And we're, you know, just check that out. And you can also check out our website, Aboriginal Legal Services website. Right. Mm-hmm. at aboriginallegal.ca.
Okay.
And I think you can access the podcast through there as well.
Yes.
So we're getting out there. We also just started back in-person programming, the Road to Your Name program. Mm-hmm. So we're in the community here doing this. This is just our first session back. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of new again. And we just had a Lori Galan actually come into our in-person last night, last evening. And we learned all about moccasin footwear from her, from an artistic point of view.
Mm.
And we also did we made our own moccasin vamp and decorated it with beads.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So, we're always learning. We're lifelong learners at the Road to Your Name.
So that's your podcast side of things. I'm wondering, does this take up most of your time? I mean, as the cultural coordinator with Aboriginal Legal Services, what else is involved with what you do?
Well, I also do, I work in the courts and I work at the Indigenous People's Court in Brantford. There's a lot of Indigenous People's Courts now all over the country that we're getting more and more. But the one in Brantford was one of the oldest, I think, which started in 2014. So we're there 8 years already.
Mm.
And we do, in that court, we have another program that I look after is the Indigenous Knowledge Helpers Program. And they come into the court to help the people going through that system when we do circles and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, so Deha Hundi is part of that as well. So it's kind of like a crossover. They help in the court and then they also help with the program. Yvonne Thomas is part of that. Jan Gahadio Longboat is part of that. And Peter Schuler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So those are our Indigenous knowledge helpers.
Right. How would you say that this has helped or changed things for you in the Aboriginal legal services area since you started initiating and putting this kind of thing into effect?
You mean the Knowledge Helpers program or the podcast or everything?
I guess everything, yeah.
Well, I believe that you can't go wrong when you're learning about yourself.
Mm.
And so it's as simple as that.
Mm.
The more knowledge you can gain about your beginnings, you know, the cultural beginnings of the culture you're from, and even learning about other cultures too, you know. But because we had such a huge interruption to our culture, it was major and had horrendous ramifications for us as a people. Because that happened to us, we really need to work to catch up now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I believe that our programs are helping to do that, helping us do that.
Nicely said. Lisa, Nyamago, for coming in and talking to us about the podcast and its fourth season. It's a pleasure, of course, to see you again in person.
Mm-hmm, you too.
And sit down and talk with you because we haven't really had a chance to talk for quite a while.
Yeah, that's true. And we used to work side by side almost down the hall from one another. Right. We could chat whenever we wanted.
That's right.
Yeah.
We could.
Yeah.
So, so folks, my guest today on Compelling Conversations, Lisa Vinivre. She is the cultural coordinator and podcaster for Aboriginal Legal Services in Brantford. We've been talking to her about the fourth season of their podcast program, in which Lisa is also the host, The Road to Your Name. And I'm going to once again ask Lisa to say it in the Mohawk language for us.
The Yohate Negasuna, The Road to Your Name podcast. And have a listen if you haven't listened before and subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any episodes.
Right. And if you do miss an episode, of course, you can always go back to either the Facebook or one of the podcast platforms where you can go to The Road to Your Name and listen to those podcasts at your leisure.
Yeah, they're all there.
So share it with, if you have a relative that is from the community but living outside of the community, somewhere around the world, make sure they know about it so they can go and listen in and, you know, maybe give them a taste of home to some degree or some of the cultural teachings that Lisa's program is sharing. Lisa, Nyawagoa.
Nyawe, David. Glad to be here.
All right. Take care. Ona.
Ona.
And that is Compelling Conversations for today. I'm your host, David Moses. Nyawagoa for listening. We'll see you next time.